You're listening to Brains On from American Public Media. We're serious about being curious. I'm Molly Bloom, and today's episode is all about the sound you're hearing behind my voice, the piano. We started thinking about pianos thanks to a question that came in from Selah.
I'm 8 years old, and I live in Quincy, Massachusetts. My question is, how does a piano make sound? I asked this question because I'm learning how to play the piano.
That's awesome, Selah. I started taking piano lessons in third grade, and many years later, playing piano is still one of my favorite things to do. I think you're going to be happy if you stick with it. Brains On producer Mark Sanchez joined me on a hunt for the answer to your question.
Hey, Molly.
Hi, Mark.
In order to understand how pianos work, first, we have to think about all the parts of a piano. If you've ever seen a piano, you know the black keys and the white keys, but there's so much more going on behind each key that we never even think about. Every time we press down on one, it sends hundreds and hundreds of moving parts into action.
Yeah, and actually that word action plays a big part in how pianos make sound. Inside each piano is a series of levers called the action.
There's also a series of metal strings, kind of like you'd see on a guitar or maybe a harp.
The sound we hear from a piano is actually those strings being hit.
Molly and I dropped by Keys 44 Kids. They sell used pianos here in St. Paul. When we got there, it was so cool. There were pianos of all different shapes and sizes everywhere you looked in that shop.
And there are another two huge back rooms also filled with pianos.
The people there are constantly moving, fixing up, and playing these instruments.
At the center of the action are Carmen Mancino and Carl Schmidt. They work in the store surrounded by these pianos all day. I asked Carmen to answer Selah's question. How does a piano make sound?
If you imagine your leg, there are many pieces of your leg that have to move in order to make you walk. So you have like your hip and your thigh and your knee and your calf and then your ankle, your heel, your foot and your toe. If your toe is the hammer that would strike the string, that's how the piano action moves. Everything has to move in accordance with each other to get you to actually walk, just like everything has to move in accordance with each other to get the note to play.
Everybody knows what a piano keyboard looks like. Mm-hmm. There's white keys, there's black keys. What happens when you push down on one of those keys?
Yeah, the key is balancing on a pin in the bed where the keys are. And then when you push down on the edge that you're playing keys on, the other end of the key toward the back of the piano lifts up.
And you can't, this is something that you can't see, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it lifts up inside the piano cabinet, inside the piano's like house. And then that in turn lifts a few other mechanisms. They're made mostly out of wood, springs, and felt for the most part. And then from there, it's kind of like that game Mousetrap, where like you flip one thing and then another thing flips, then another thing flips, and it looks like that inside. And that's what I was talking about with your leg movement. So all these different parts then move to strike the strings, and the strings are held together inside the piano. The ends of them are coiled around tuning pins, which are metal, and they're shoved into a wood pin block to help keep them really tight.
So what's actually making the sound?
Yeah. Sound is produced by vibrations, which are caused, in this case, by the hammer hitting, striking the strings. And so the sound waves, vibrations, are resonating off the soundboard of the piano.
By the way, a soundboard is a large, flat piece of wood set behind the strings of every piano. It helps amplify the sounds coming from the instrument. Then there are the hammers.
the hammer felt in the piano.
It's like a popsicle stick with a cotton ball wrapped around the end of it. And then if you were just using the very tip of it with the cotton ball piece of it to hit a string. So it's really soft.
And then is there one hammer or lots of hammers? How does it work?
So the strings are kind of zigzag, I guess you could say. And per hammer generally hits three strings. Mm.
And that's when you're tuning a piano, you're tuning all of those strings to sound the same to each other. And it helps give it that volume. It helps give it that special tone.
They're all playing the same note.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Got it. And so then each note has its own hammer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're playing a chord that has three notes in it,
mm-hmm.
there's three hammers that are hitting sets of strings.
Yes. So nine strings And you can open up a piano. That's what our technicians do when they work on the pianos, is they lift off like the frontboard of it. They lift off the fallboard, which is the part that covers the keys, so that the piano is just like open and waiting to be worked on.
If you ever see a grand piano, those are open and you can kind of see all these things happening, right?
Yeah, it's really neat to watch everything move around. It's kind of crazy.
Brains. Okay, Carmen and Carl have taken us on a mini journey from piano keys to strings, but we have to take a time out here to talk about sound itself.
Hi, my name is Dina from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. How do things make sounds and be how soft they are and how loud they are?
Hi, my name is Oakley. I'm from Nashville, and I want to know how sounds and vibrations work.
In a piano, when the hammer hits the strings vibrate, and it's vibrations that are responsible for every sound we hear. Vibrations create sound waves. For more on how those work, let's head out to a very special arena.
Welcome to Most Epic Fighting Battle Realm. Choose your warrior. Monster Master, you go first.
I choose Gungador, Slayer of Things, Stomper of Other Things. He cannot be defeated.
Gungador, smash!
What a worthy warrior. Now, it's your turn to choose, Allie.
I choose a sound wave.
Sound wave? What's that? Oh, you must mean Wave-nado!
His fists hit like gale force winds!
No, I mean a sound wave. You know, like how sound travels. That's how you're hearing me right now.
Gungador confused!
Yeah, I thought that waves come from water, like in the ocean, where Shimanshi lives.
Yes, she is a worthy warrior. Why not choose her?
Well, water waves are one type of wave, but there are lots of them. These waves are just disturbances of energy that travel through something from one place to another. We call that something a medium. For ocean waves, the medium is water. For sound waves, the medium is usually air.
Oh, so it is an air attack. Gungador will withstand the blows.
Gungador, strong.
Well, kind of. See, a sound wave works like this. When I talk, air from my lungs goes through my throat and vibrates my vocal cords. As those cords vibrate, it also vibrates the air directly around them. Then those vibrating air molecules bump into other molecules next to them, which makes those molecules vibrate too. Then they bump into other molecules and on and on and on, until some vibrating molecules bump into your eardrums. That causes them to vibrate.
Gungador has drum in ear?
Your brain senses those eardrum vibrations and translates them to a message, like my voice.
Wait, so sound waves shoot air molecules at us? That's a clever attack, I guess.
Not quite, Monster Master. The individual molecules don't actually travel. They just wiggle in place. Think of it this way. If there's a tightly packed crowd of monsters and one monster in the front bumps the monsters next to them.
Excuse me.
Those monsters will then stumble.
Whoa, sorry.
When they
sorry.
Do that, they'll bump into more monsters.
Watch it.
Who will then stumble into others.
Ow.
And on and on and on through the crowd. Even though each monster stays where they started, the energy disturbance travels through the whole crowd.
Sorry about that.
That's how it is with sound. When I clap, the energy disturbance travels from my hand to your ear, even if the air molecules between us are just vibrating in place. Got it?
Gungador gets it!
I don't need to get it to know your sound wave is no match for mighty Gungador. Chomper of trees, stomper of large bushes, let's battle!
Let this most epic fighting battle realm fighting begin!
Ha ha, now you will perish. Gungador attacks with severing smite.
Epic move! That does zero damage?
Wait, what?
Yes, sound waves are just energy disturbances passing through air, so you can't really hurt them.
Sound waves are vibrating air molecules!
Exactly. Nice recall, Gungador.
Gungador gets it again! Is Gungador genius?
Allie, your turn to attack.
I'm going to play a tone and increase the pitch.
What is this pitch you speak of? Is it a laser or a punch? Or laser punch?
Pitch is the word we use to describe how high or low something sounds. Remember how I told you air molecules wiggle in a sound wave?
Gungado remembers!
Well, the pitch comes from how many wiggles or vibrations each molecule makes over a certain amount of time. This idea is also called frequency, because it has to do with how frequent the vibrations are. If those air molecules wiggle slowly, and they vibrate only a couple dozen times a second, then the pitch sounds low, like this. But if they vibrate quickly, hundreds of times a second, then the pitch sounds high, like this.
Ah, that noise is horrible!
But it also does zero damage. Monster Master, your turn.
Gungador attacks with Beast Blast!
And that does also zero damage.
What?
Sorry. Remember how sound waves aren't hurt by punches or swipes?
Oh, yeah. So it's dumb.
All right, this battle is so not epic. Very well. Allie, go again.
I'm going to take that tone I made last round and increase the amplitude.
Amplitude? Is that like attitude?
Gungador's attitude is biggest in land.
I don't think that means what you think it means, Gungador.
Actually, amplitude is related to volume or loudness. It means how much energy the sound wave is carrying. When you increase the energy, to us it sounds like the tone is getting louder. So if I take this tone and dial up the amplitude, it gets loud!
Can't hear own self thinking! Gungador, too messed up to fight!
Gungador loses a turn.
No fair.
Back to you, Allie.
I'm going to use my sound wave to play music. Music is a combination of different frequencies and amplitudes, as well as things like tone and rhythm. Still, it's all just sound waves that are traveling through the air.
Gungador feels urged to dance. Gungador must bust a move! Hoo-ha! Hoo-ha!
Stop flailing about like a fool and get ready for your next attack, Gungador!
No! Gungador found new calling in life! Gungador is genius who likes dancing! No more battles!
And that settles it! Allie and the sound waves win!
Sweet! Woohoo!
No!
That's it for this really weird edition of Most Epic Fighting Battle Realm! Game over.
We love getting your drawings, and you know what we'd love to see? Your drawings of Gungador fighting a sound wave. We think that would be epic indeed. Send them to hello@brainson.org. We're going to tickle the ivories a little more in a minute, but first, let's tickle your eardrums. It's time for the mystery sound.
Mystery sound.
Here it is. Stick around. We'll be back with the answer a little later in the show. All of us at Brains On want to give a hearty high five to the listeners who sent in sea creature drawings for our Salty Sea Shanty video. You can check it out right now at our website, brainson.org. You can also click on the video and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're going to be uploading some pretty awesome stuff in the future. You can keep up with us on Instagram and Twitter. We're at @brains_on, and we're on Facebook too. Do you have a question for the show, or do you want to send us a mystery sound or a drawing? No problem. You can email those to hello@brainson.org. And if you're into actual mail, the kind with paper and stamps and envelopes, head to brainson.org. You'll find our physical mailing address on the Contact Us page. To thank the awesome kids who contribute their ideas and energy to the show, we add their names to the Brains Honor Roll. Like Felix from New Jersey. He has a theory about the sound in seashells.
I would like to know how you hear the ocean in a shell. So basically, it's probably just the air rushing around inside the shell. So, when you do hear the shell, well, then it's not really the ocean, it's just the air that you hear in the shell.
Well, Felix, that does sound interesting. We'll have an answer to that question in our moment of Listen for that and the latest installment of the Brains Honor Roll at the very end of this episode. Today's episode is sponsored by Posh Peanut. Raising a family can be tough, but also amazing and beautiful. Posh Peanut gets it, which is why they make beautiful, soft clothing that is tough enough to withstand all the rough and tumble of childhood. Posh Peanut makes thoughtfully crafted, beautiful, stylish clothing for kids and families designed in-house, from beautiful florals to your favorite brands such as Hot Wheels, Disney, Hello Kitty, and Barbie. Their pieces are made with ridiculously soft viscose, made from bamboo that stays soft even after you wash them over and over again. And I love that it really does feel like these clothes will last. And their high-quality fabric is 4 times stretchier than cotton, so it grows with your child. It's also breathable and chemical-free, which means they're delicate on your kid's sensitive skin. Posh Peanut is made for infants and kids, but they also have sizing for parents if you want the whole family to match, and who doesn't? And if you're not a parent, consider this the perfect gift idea for any little one. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code BRAINSON. Go to poshpeanut.com/brainson and use promo code BRAINSON for 20% off your first order. That's poshpeanut.com/brainson, promo code BRAINSON.
Your Classical's Class Notes lesson plans help teachers discover new ways to bring the joy of music to their students through free online music education resources. Teachers have said that our lesson plans are especially helpful for sub-planning and that the videos in the lessons are great. See why one teacher recently told us our lesson plans are the best gift of all. Visit classnotes.org today.
You're listening to Brains On. I'm Molly Bloom, and today we're talking pianos.
They're black keys and white keys, and they all have different sounds.
In the bottom, it looks like sticks, and on the top, it looks like marshmallows.
I'm pretty sure they're like strings, maybe, that like when you press the key, then it vibrates and it makes a sound, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's how it works.
Those sounds like a deep voice, and it can make a high-pitched voice too.
When I'm playing like something happy, I hit it harder than I would play with something sad.
When you play something that's sad, it's slower. When you play something that's happier and play it with like more pizzazz and a lot like quicker.
That was Brielle, Maribel, Andrew, and Sean. They're all students at Walker West Music Academy in St. Paul. You hear how that piano note is still going? It sounds like it's never going to stop. That's because of the sustain pedal. Most people think about fingers playing a piano, but there's a lot going on below the keys, too. Every piano has a set of pedals that you use your feet to push. 6-year-old Theo from Woodbury, Minnesota, has this question.
Why do pianos have 3 pedals? Because I play piano a lot and I want 20.
20? Ooh, that is too many for my brain to think about. Or I'd at least need a few more feet to handle them. Until you invent your 20-pedaled piano, most pianos are stuck with 3. Push on the sustain pedal while you play a note, and the note rings out even after your finger is off the key. But what do the other pedals do? Let's go back to the piano shop to get an answer from Carmen and Carl.
Yeah, generally on upright pianos, there is a soft pedal, which moves the hammers closer to the strings, and it just kind of produces a softer tone.
Pianos have different pedals, and they might not all be the same pedal on every piano. There's usually the soft pedal, which is the one like Carl said.
On the left, yeah.
Yep, it's the one on the left that moves the hammers just a little bit forward to make a softer sound and tone. And then another kind of pedal is the sostenuto, which is like the sustain pedal. On the sustain pedal, the sound keeps ringing no matter which keys you're playing, but on a sostenuto pedal, the sound only keeps ringing on the first chord that you're playing, and then you can play other notes, and it creates like a staccato effect when you're playing the other notes while the first chord continues to ring.
That's cool.
Oh, I like that.
What other kind of pedals are there?
There's a pedal that basically drops a sheet of felt in front of the hammers, in between the hammers and the strings. And that is considered a silent pedal.
So if you wanted to play maybe really quietly at night and not wake up the neighbors.
Yep, that'd be the one to use.
Thanks to Carl and Carmen for that pedal explanation. Okay, let's go back to that mystery sound. Want to hear it one more time? Here it is. Any guesses? Did you change your mind after you heard it a second time? Well, here with the answer is Mathis from Piedmont, California.
That was the sound of me running my thumbnail against the sixth string of my guitar.
So you might be picturing just a regular old string. Well, it's not. It's actually a tightly wound coil of metal. And those strings are similar to the strings that make the lower notes on a piano.
Brains on.
Now we know about the pedals, and we know about the keys, and we know a bit about the action. But there are thousands and thousands of parts inside a piano that all work together. There are so many parts that you'd really need to work in a piano factory to know about all of them.
My name is Bob Berger. I work at Steinway & Sons as Director of Customer Satisfaction. I grew up here in New York City. I grew up in Astoria, which is where the Steinway factory is located. I was hired here as an engineer many years ago, almost 30 years ago. I know the pianos pretty well.
Since Bob knows pianos inside and out, we decided to play a little game with him. We gave him 30 seconds to name as many parts as he could. Time starts now.
Pedals, lyre box, lyre pillars, hammer, hammer shank, knuckle, repetition, fly, jack, let-off screw, treble wire, bass wire, grand piano plate, soundboard, bridge, front rail, keybend end caps, keyboard, sharps, naturals, capstans, action hangers.
Wow, that was amazing. Some of those parts sounded familiar, but others I had never heard of before. Putting a piano together is a feat of engineering. But let's not forget the builders and the musicians who are also involved.
You need expertise in wood technology and finishing and adhesives and metallurgy and acoustics. The piano, and certainly the Steinway piano, is probably the most highly engineered acoustic instrument that exists. And that's because of the force of the strings on the case is incredible. It will range from anywhere from 20 to 35,000 pounds of force. And this type of force needs to be controlled, and you need to have a structure that's very stable that will not move under that tremendous force. And it's made out of wood and metal, and it's a very challenging, interesting product to make.
Pianos are complicated machines that make beautiful sounds. By striking a key, which triggers the action, and that hammers a string, and that string vibrates to make a sound. Sound is made up of vibrations moving through the air, and that's what we hear. Who could forget sound waves? Right, Gungador?
Sound waves are vibrating air molecules! Gungador gets it again!
Thanks to Nancy Yang, Ali Hinzi Francis, and John Miller. We had engineering help this week from Michael DeMarc and Veronica Rodriguez. Special thanks to Keys 44 Kids for hosting us. Part of every piano sale there goes towards putting another piano in someone else's home. Very cool. And now for the moment of Remember Felix had a question about why people say you can hear the ocean in a seashell? He had a theory too.
When you do hear the shell, it's probably just the air rushing around in the shell.
So, is Felix right?
He's correct.
That's Steve Aretti. He's a professor of physics at the University of Illinois. He's here to tell us more about how seashells trick us into hearing the ocean.
If you have any arbitrarily shaped container, for example, a pop bottle, there will be resonances of sound or at certain frequencies because of the shape of that container. And the shape of the container actually dictates what those resonant frequencies are. So if you blow across the mouth of a pop bottle, you will hear a pitch. So if you have a shell, the shell has a different shape from a pop bottle, obviously. That shape dictates what kinds of resonances at certain frequencies it will have. The air is actually oscillating in and out of the shell. When you turn it from side to side, you can hear different resonant frequencies, and that's sort of reminiscent of the sound of waves crashing on the beach at an ocean. So people say you can hear the ocean in a seashell.
Okay, it's time for the Brain's Honor Roll. If you've recently sent us an email with a question or a mystery sound or a drawing, please be patient. The list is growing, but the wait is worth it. Here's a podcast high five to all our listeners who keep this show going with their energy and ideas. Jackson from Bentonville, Arkansas, Noah from Savannah, Georgia, Jordan from LA, Meredith from Melbourne, Australia, Skylar and Astrid from Minneapolis, Ryan from Plano, Texas, Mia from Los Altos, California, Charlotte from North Carolina, Eleanor, Eloise, Violet and Elliot from Richfield, Minnesota, Paloma from LA, Persephone from Bordentown, New Jersey, Sam from Jackson Heights, New York, Una from Champaign, Illinois, Ambrose from Plainfield, Vermont, Evelyn and Ian from Burlington, Connecticut, Otto from Oakland, Owen in San Clemente, Olivia from Charlottesville, Virginia, Sparrow from Charlotte, North Carolina, Gabriel from London, England, Grayson from Kennebunk, Maine, Winter from Brooklyn, Lauren and Catherine from Grand Rapids, Michigan, Gabby and Darwin from Ewing, New Jersey, Austin from Seattle, Eliza from Placentia, California, Reed from Tathra, Australia, Gabriella and Rafi from Mascaret Batya, Israel, Landon from Saipan, Northern Mariana Islands, Tom from Sydney, Australia, Fletcher from West Sacramento, California, Zoe from Albacete, Spain, Colin from Linfield, Massachusetts, Max and Lola from Brooklyn, Yael from Grand Rapids, Michigan, Zach from Brisbane, Australia, Taija, Lila, Bo, Sophia, and Hallie from Washington, Matthias and Annalise from Torrance, California, Sammy and Kayla from Sacramento, Annie from Canada, Michael and Victoria from London, England, Isabella from Bellevue, Nebraska, Evie from Colorado Springs, and Sarasa and Alisa from Kyoto, Japan. Thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.